You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Extremely tasteful.
Breakfast food on 95 BFM.
Very excited to have in the studio this morning, possibly not an unfamiliar voice, but it's been a minute since you've been up in the BFM studios. Right. It's Akiko Kurematsu, and we're chatting with you this morning, Akiko, about a really beautiful book that you have published, self-published, of home cooking recipes, exploring your cultural heritage, and looking at, sharing that knowledge with people. Tell us a wee bit about this gorgeous mother tongue that you've got in front of us on the table here.
Yeah, hey, it's really, really nice to be back. And I've brought my first book with me, called Mother Tongue, and it is about Japanese family and food. That I've self-published over the last 2 years.
Wow.
Starting with March 2020. You guys remember that we were under our first lockdown, and everyone was cooking. Everyone was looking for recipes online, sharing what they've cooked on social media, and I was doing the same, but I was cooking through my mother's cookbook.
Oh, wow.
Called My Mother's Love, A Mother's Love, and she had self-published this book at the end of her studies in culinary cooking at the age of 60.
Wow. How special to have something like that from your mum, and also to be able to kind of get you through the weirdness of that time. I feel like you are so right. Everybody was cooking their way through, whether it was making a big loaf of sourdough, trying to keep a
sourdough era.
Yeah, trying to keep a starter alive or something in the back of their pantry. But it's something really special about also being able to connect with your family when you can't necessarily see them too.
That's right, and I think it was like a time of reflection for a lot of people too, and I had this book that I had really never had the time to cook my way through, and it was my grandmother's recipes that my mother had adapted and made into this cookbook, and I finally had time to get through it, and it was such a joy. But I also found that I couldn't find many of the ingredients locally here in New Zealand. It's a Japanese cookbook that had ingredients like yuzu, which is, you guys might be familiar with, it's a citrus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not available in certain seasons in mm-hmm. certain parts of the world. I've yet to find yuzu at a market in New Zealand. So yeah. Ingredients like that, you have to substitute, and you have to use what's available locally. So that was an exercise in kind of shopping local and being aware of what you can make with what you have in your immediate surroundings.
That must be quite an interesting process as well, because obviously the flavor profile is not exactly the same. What was it like trying to, experiment through that, cooking and eating and trying to find something that felt similar enough to work in that substitute?
Yeah, because you wanna get that familiar taste. Like, that's what you're trying to achieve, right? It's like you want the familiar flavors of your childhood. Mm. So you're seeking those flavors with what you have around you. So that was a really a good exercise, and I found that it was actually very easy to achieve it. And I think that prompted me to write this cookbook, because I found that, okay, you can actually buy these ingredients like soy sauce, you can buy vinegar, you can buy dashi at the supermarket, and make, using these few ingredients, you can actually achieve an authentic Japanese flavor in your food.
That's so awesome. And I think that's something that for people who haven't cooked with Japanese flavors or ingredients before, it can feel a wee bit daunting from the outside, is knowing that there's maybe things that are unfamiliar in a Western cooking canon to people putting into their into these recipes and stuff. How would you, encourage people to approach this if this is sort of unfamiliar cooking territory for them?
Totally. I think the ingredients like miso or they can be daunting. Like the color and the texture isn't that familiar with what you use every day, but they're actually really easy ingredients to incorporate into your food. So what I've done with all the recipes is that I've kind of pared back all the ingredients so that they're just the key ingredients. You have a few things like just like what I mentioned, like a soy or a vinegar or a, which is rice wine vinegar, and dashi. And again, dashi, so scary.
Yeah.
Well, so
there
intimidating.
Might even be people listening right now who don't actually know what dashi is. Like, could you explain it for people?
Sure, yeah. Sure. So dashi is the basis of Japanese cooking. It's the broth. So what you're trying to, it's the stock. So if you might be using chicken or beef, or if you're a vegetarian, if you might be using a vegetarian broth in your cooking today, then Japanese use dashi. Mm-hmm. And dashi can be a fish-based broth, or it can be a seaweed-based broth, a shiitake mushroom-based broth. But it's dashi is, in essence, it's just a broth. It's
right.
Just a stock. It's just what, it's a building component of your cooking.
Mm.
So I know that it sounds scary when you say things like dashi, but there are very comparable things that you use in Western cooking that is familiar and can be used interchangeably.
Mm. So how have you approached putting this book together? Because obviously you're working through these different sort of substitutes and things that you can find in Aotearoa, and working through your own family's kind of heritage and your own cooking heritage as well. How have you kind of put it together to be a cookbook? What can people expect from inside the covers?
So I decided to self-publish the book because I wanted it to be a direct conversation with the people who use this book. So I wanted that my voice to be uninterrupted.
Yeah.
It is a very personal story. It's my grandmother's recipes adapted into my mother's cookbook, which I've modernized and brought abroad in the English language. And so that it's available worldwide. And I've pared it down to 50 recipes that I thought were really achievable in everyday cooking, including kind of appetizers or nibbles and main courses, salads, vegetables, and even a few desserts.
Yum.
and I've put together the book with my friend Harry Weir, who is a photographer, very well known here in Aotearoa. Shot it in Katie Lockhart, who's a very renowned interior designer. I was very privileged to shoot in her kitchen, her home kitchen. And I also had Claire Buchanan, who edited my book. Everyone who are good, great friends and doing great work in New Zealand.
That's a pretty special collection of people to have come together around a project. And it's beautiful. It's quite hard to describe through the medium of radio, but it's a very beautiful book. Feels very nice. The paper stock is lovely. We were talking about that off air before. And you've got those gorgeous photos from Harry in there as well. Where can people go and get this book, Akiko, if it sounds like something that they're wanting to experiment with in their cooking, or just a really beautiful thing to have in their kitchen? Where can people go and grab Mother Tongue?
Yeah, if you ever, Japanese is a food... Japanese cooking is a food that you eat out all the time, and you've always wanted to maybe cook a few recipes at home, please go to my website, Akiko Kuramatsu. That's A-K-I-K-O, akikokuramatsu.com. And you can find, you can purchase Mother Tongue online.
Fantastic. We will pop a link to that in the podcast after the show so people can find it nice and easily and listen back to anything that they've missed from this chat. Akiko, thank you so much for coming in. This is a beautiful book. I'm really excited to have a proper look at it. And we will see you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Food for thought. Breakfast food on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.